בוקר טוב, ערב שבת שלום, פרשת חיי שרה, תראי איז כ"ג במן חשבן. So what's very interesting is that we know according to most of the Mefarshim, the final test that Avraham Avinu passed was that of Akedat Yitzchak at the end of last week's parasha. And we find that Rashi in the beginning of the parasha, Vayu chaye sarah, me'a shana ve'aisim shana ve'sheve shanim, Rashi says, Lama nismecha parashat mitat sarah la'akedat Yitzchak? Why did the Torah put the death of sarah juxtaposed to Akedat Yitzchak to tell us that she passed away as a result of Akedat Yitzchak? Why? The Midrash says that the Satan came over to Sarah and says, oh, do you know that Avraham Avinu just slaughtered Yitzchak? And she heard it immediately, and what happened? She died on the spot, and that was that. The question really is, it's very interesting. Rashi, in last week's parasha, says that in terms of Nevu'ah, Rashi HaKadosh says that in terms of Nevu'ah, Sarah was actually greater than Avraham Avinu in her level of prophecy. So how is it that Avraham Avinu was able, he was actually there, tied up his son with the knife, had the knife on his throat, almost killed him, and he was able to survive that trauma, and yet Sarai Imenu, only from hearing about it, died on the spot. Ever wonder about that? She was a woman. So what? You know what I'm saying? Many women are sometimes emotionally stronger than men. You know, women give birth to babies. Men don't. You know what I'm saying? They withstand a lot of things that men don't. So women also mature, even in halakha, they mature emotionally before men, earlier than men. Hence, bat mitzvah at 12 and bar mitzvah at 13. There is something to be said about that. Tekshivata. So he says, the Sichot Musar of Chaim Shmulevitz, Alav Hashalom, says an unbelievable thing. We find that whereas Avraham Avinu, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduce this Nisayon to him at the end of last week's Parashah Makatuv? Says, Kach lecha et bincha et yechidecha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. Says Rashi HaKadosh, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks so much? Why tell him, take Yitzchak, take him to Aram Uriah, do Akedah v'zeh Shalom. Why do you say like that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to come and bring it to him. How? He wanted to bring it step by step. He didn't want to spring it on him to startle him, to freak him out. So first he says, Kach et bincha, take your son. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have two sons. Et yechidecha, your only son. He says, I have two only sons. Ze yechid le'imo, ze yechid le'imo. Right? Each one is an only son to his mother. Asher ahavta, the one that you love. He says, I love both my sons. Eventually Hashem says, what? Yitzchak. Take Yitzchak. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to prepare Avraham Avinu slowly, slowly for this Nisayon. Every word, every phrase that he told him, Avraham Avinu became more prepared to handle the Nisayon. Unbelievable. Whereas by Sarah, what happened? Nobody prepared her. She didn't even know that they were going for the Akedah. They knew, yeah, Vayilechu Shenehem Yachdav. They went together. They both, like we say in the Piyut on Rosh Hashanah, Haben Nihizavach Ve'av Lizboach. Yitzchak went to be slaughtered, and Abraham went to do the slaughtering, and they both went Pelev Shalim. But Sarah was clueless. She didn't know about this. The Satan came and told her, all one shot, boom, your son's dead. What happened? She couldn't handle it. The Sichot Musa says, we learn over here, there's such a midah called Midat Ha'istaglut, which means the midah of getting used to something, adapting to a situation. Adaptation is a very, very big yisod in Avodat Hashem. We find it many different places. We find, the Gemara tells us in Ketubot of Samach Bet, Rabbi Hananiah ben Chachinai, that's the sugya over there about Chachamim going to learn for many years and leaving their wives. Who else did that? Rabbi Akiva. So one of the Chachamim who did that, Rabbi Hananiah ben Chachinai, he went away for 12 years to learn, and he came back. And all of a sudden, the Gemara says, this was the word. Kevan sheri ma'inev ra'ata, ra'a liba ufarcha nishmata. She picked up, she was doing something in the house. She picked up her eyes, she saw her husband, and immediately she died on the spot. What happened? Says Rashi HaKadosh. Listen to his words. Ra'a liba, nidme le'liba pit'om sheze ba'ala. She didn't have a chance to process yet. There was no knock on the door. She didn't see her. Usually, remember, whatever the eye sees, Rashi HaKadosh says on the Torah, "V'lotaturu acharei levavchem v'acharei einichem, ha'ayin ro'ah v'lev chomed." Whatever the eye sees, then it goes down. It sends a message to the, obviously it's not figurative. The message goes where? The brain. But figuratively, it goes down to the heart and the heart wants it. Her eyes didn't have a chance to process that her husband was home. As soon as she saw her, it was so sudden that she wasn't able to cope with it and she passed away on the spot. We find the same. Yeah, we know. It's very interesting. Anytime, the Avot HaKadoshim, when it comes to burial, there are usually situations. Avraham Avinu had a situation by burial. Who else of the Avot had a situation by burial? Yaakov Avinu. They came to bury him. Mutal Shama. And no, this is mine. This is Azazel. So anyway, the Kitzur, what happened over there? The Shvatim started to reason with him. He bought it. He didn't buy it. Yeah. Where's the Shtar? Who'd they send? Naphtali. They sent him back to run to Goshen to bring it. In the meantime, the Gemara says, there's one individual over there, Yaakov Avinu's grandson, Hushim Ben Dan, says,
What's going on?
Yeah. Says, why are we, you know, why is Saba not buried yet? It's Bizayon. We're sitting here. We're talking, what are you doing? What is it? Coffee break? All of a sudden they said, no, Esav came and he's making balagan. Says, no problem. Ma Esav, there's no balagan. No problem. Huh? Yes, they signed with him. Esav, Amo Esav Nishtchubi. Say something. Yeah. Anyway, Masu Kazelo. Tell, it doesn't say he was deaf. It says hard of hearing. So maybe they screamed in his ears and Yodama. No, it says hard of hearing.
It's order personal sense.
Then what?
No, hard of hearing. It's a term.
So,
it means deaf,
though, in person. That's what I mean. He went, he took a club, he knocked his eyeballs out, he killed him, and that was the end of the situation. And on that day, yeah, so it was Yaakov Avinu and Esav's eyeballs, or according to the Yerushalmi, Esav's head that was buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and that was the end of the story. Says the Sechot Musar, a very obvious question. Says, I don't understand. Nobody over there could take initiative before Hushim Ben Dan. Efo Yehuda, Efo Reuven, Yosef. Nobody can do anything until Hushim Ben Dan. Why was nobody there to take initiative until him? Maze. You ever wonder? Shifteyah, big people. Yehuda almost destroyed the whole Eretz Mitzrayim with one roar. Yeah. Yosef HaTzadik sent Menashe. He stepped on the ground in Parashat Vayigash and he created an earthquake. Why is nobody there making a matzah? Why? Makavod. Bizayon. Kavod. But look what he's doing. Rasha. You know, so even if it's an uncle, if he's causing problems and he's being mevazeh, your father, you take him. Yeah? Takshiv. The Sichot Musar says, in the meantime, they were having conversations with Esav. There was a dialogue. What's going? They were talking back and forth. He bought it. He didn't buy it. Went to get the shtav. So while the conversation was happening, they adapted to this situation of Bizayon. As terrible as it was, the more they spoke, the more immune they became to the situation. There was only one person that wasn't immune, that didn't adapt yet to the situation. Who was that?
One that didn't hear.
The one that didn't hear the conversation, the one that had nothing to do with it, Hushim. Because he didn't adapt, his, we call it kanaut, he was the one to be kanai because he didn't get used. I didn't get used to the situation. It's famous. It's an unbelievable thing. Yeah? You can't let yourself get used to situations of chilul Hashem. You got to get out there and scream the vault. You got to make a mecha'a. Even at large expenses. Yeah, no mshani. Nachon? Tzach la'asot. Takshib tov.
No, they don't
say it. Vadai. He's the Pinchas of our generation. Yeah. So he says like this, Rabotai. Takshib tov. One time, the Chafetz Chaim, alav shalom, he was passing in Radin, he was walking on Shabbat. And he saw there was a Jewish factory open on Shabbat, doing work. On the spot, he fainted. Yadu am fursam, he fainted on the spot. He had never until that point seen Chilul Shabbat in his life. And from the horror of witnessing Chilul Shabbat, he fainted.
Who?
Chafetz Chaim. He fainted from seeing Chilul Shabbat. Not from being Mechalen Shabbat, Chas V'Shalom, from witnessing another Jew being Mechalen Shabbat. A few Shabbatot later, he was walking again with Talmidim. It was before Minchas and Shabbat Kodesh. And again, he said, I don't know if it was the same, whatever, he sees another act of Chilul Shabbat. And then he starts crying. And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, why are you crying? Before you fainted, now you're crying. What's going on? He says, I'll tell you. I'm crying that I didn't faint. That's how he said? I'm crying that I didn't faint. Why did I faint the first time? Because it was such a shock. He fainted from the shock. Apparently, the second time, if he didn't faint, what's he saying about himself? Not that he's okay with it, but to a certain extent, he adapted to a situation where Chilul Shabbat, God forbid, is acceptable. And for that, he cried. Which means every time a Jew doesn't faint from Chilul Shabbat or from any other Avon, what does that mean about us? We're adapted to it. We've gotten used to it. We've become immune to it, Chas v'Shalom. And that's tragic. Adaptation is a big, big thing in Avodat Hashem, both for the good and for the bad. You know, if we didn't adapt to situations, the person, Chas v'Shalom, lost a relative and didn't adapt to the situation, he would go out of his mind. It helps us, but it's also very bad for us sometimes. Sometimes we get used to things in the world which we're not supposed to get used to. What are you saying?
I didn't know that.
Of course he knew.
He never saw it.
Never saw Chilul Shabbat before in his life.
But that is seeing it make you adapt to it so much so that it would cause you to faint more than...
No, the first time he didn't adapt to it. He's saying he adapted to it the second time.
Yes.
When he didn't faint. You know what it means to witness Chilul Shabbat? If you see Chilul Shabbat really, either you have to faint or vomit. That's really what it is.
Nowadays, they pull down the window and they say Shabbat Shalom.
No, you mamash, you have to turn around. I don't know if you should tell them Shabbat Shalom, or maybe you just did a cheretz, tell them Shabbat Shalom, but turn around and throw up.
I initiate the Shabbat Shalom.
Don't make them stop. You make them stop.
They pull down the windows,
they stop. Be'emet kacha, you have to turn around, you see Chilul Shabbat, the person has to watch you, turn around and vomit.
Rabbi, how do you explain?
Lo shomea otcha.
Yeah. How do you, Chilul Shabbat, how do you explain that? How do you personally explain that to your children? I have this all the time with my kids. How come, if they're Jewish, how come they're driving? How come, are they not Jewish?
They're Jewish, but they're miskinim. They don't know.
They don't know, so they, you know, not everyone decides to.
They don't understand. They don't know. I explain to my children, Havdil, you know, sometimes you have people in school or whatever who are a little bit slower. They don't understand things as quick or whatever. Are they bad people? Of course they're not bad, you know. They're special needs. Not to Chas v'Shalom call Mechalel Shabbatot special needs. But they just pashut, with regards to Shmirat Shabbat, with regards to Shmirat Mitzvot, they're special needs. They don't understand. They can't fully comprehend the extent of what Shabbat and the other Mitzvot mean to Am Yisrael. So instead of saying, Rasha, 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 you say, what? They're miskinim. You have to pray for them. If So HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens their mind and their hearts so that they understand Mazah Shabbat, and Mazah Kashrut, Mazah Tahara, Mazah Shemila Torah Mitzvot. Understand? Lo Rasha. Special needs. Skinny. Yeah. If you tell them that, they're going to get insulted. Nachon. But you know something? You don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets insulted from their Chilul Shabbat? What about Hashem's insulted? That doesn't mean anything? Hashem's insult? They don't really. No, you have to be very different. Diplomatic. You have to be politically correct with these people. How about being politically correct with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? How about fulfilling his Torah mitzvot? For a Kadosh Baruch Hu being politically correct, we don't care. Mazin. Lo kacha? Not to go and insult them, Chalila. Not to go and tell them, oh, your special needs. Ma pitom. No, but miskinim, mamash, teflex, right? And then you have to tell them, mamash. So, Rabotai, the tzrich lada'at. That's how you tell the children. Kacha. They don't know. They're miskinim. They pashut don't know. You're so lucky. But what? He's much older than me. Isn't he supposed to know? Of course he is. But look at you. Look how smart you are. Look how intelligent you are. Even at such a young age, you understand what's Shabbat Kodesh, what's the Mo'adim, what's Shmirat Torah Mitzvot. They, even in their older age, miskinim, they still didn't chap. Miskinim, צריך להתפלל עליהם. שהקדוש ברוך הוא יחזיר אותם תשובה שלמה, בוודאי. Yeah, like Bruria said, "Yitamu chataim velo chotim." Right? We don't want the sinners to die. Let the sins die, and the sinners be chozer b'tshuva. Like we say in Tefillat Ne'ilah, כי לא תחפוץ למות המת, כי אם בשובות מדרכו וחיה, השם doesn't want the רשעים to die, he wants the רשעים to be חוזר לתשובה, and for them to live. We're also responsible. Guess what? If there's מחללי שבתות in our generation, that means that we're not keeping Shabbat properly. If there's people that transgress Torah mitzvot, that means that we don't keep Torah mitzvot properly. We are very, very responsible for our fellow Jew. It doesn't bode well for us when we see these things. You know? And even if we're not fainting or vomiting, it means that we have to hold ourselves accountable and not become immune to such things. But then I thank you for listening. Shabbat shalom. Be well.